Okay. City Council work session for September 17, 2019 will come to order. Any clarifications on the agenda for tonight from anybody? Okay, first order of business, informational items, Water Environmental Services Oregon Consensus Process. Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. Water Environment Services, also known as WES, has engaged Portland State University, the Oregon Consensus Process, in an effort to address issues raised by a number of cities, primarily about governance, but other things like rates and that sort of thing. Councilor Drake's been heavily involved throughout through the years and throughout this process, and requested the work session to kind of give an update of where we're at. Before I turn it over to Councilor Drake, just a few things to kind of think about as we proceed in this process and participate in this process. What does the city need out of that? You know, what are our desires and needs? And I just wrote down a few notes here of things you may consider. One is, I believe you may want to have the city have a seat at the table if there's any sort of advisory group that gets formed out of this, or any kind of board or anything that makes a recommendation that ultimately could affect us and our residents. Perhaps even a little more detailed conversation of what exactly are residents getting for their rates? What kind of services is West providing? Is that on par with the rest of the district, with the other cities? Are we getting more? Are we getting less? What exactly are we getting? Further on that, does West provide inclement weather assistance when we're having flooding events? Are they out here? I know the answer to that. It's no. And when we call them, they don't seem to have the resources available to come deal with localized flooding issues because they're out treating other areas of the system where they have a lot of I&I, inflow and infiltration issues and blowing up manholes and all sorts of things. So another thing to think about is what are the customer service expectations we have for development process here from one of our service providers, and that permitting process. I hear quite often that it's inadequate from the development community on the point of sometimes almost breaking projects. Maybe that's a conversation to have. And then, are there any opportunities in this process that would allow the city to be on par with what other cities, how other cities treat their sewer systems and stormwater systems? The retail conversation. I know we haven't got there. There's still, we have to put some finishing touches on a feasibility report and come back to council and get any direction. I'm just saying if there's any opportunity in this process to have those conversations, then they should probably be had at this point. So that's kind of what I have to kick it off, and I'll turn it over to you, counselor, if there's, as you're finishing off a cookie.
Yes. That was a good introduction. Thank you, Jason. And I think all those points are valid that we need to look at and explore, certainly. The current process that we're in, called the Oregon Consensus Process, was brought about by the city's desire to, one, protect their citizens from rate increases. That's why we're here. The other thing the cities, this has been going on for years, form kind of a group of the cities because we don't trust the county. There's trust issues that each city has with the county, and that's been problematic. So because of those trust issues and a desire to protect our citizens from rate increases, we've kind of formed this process to see if we can't solve that, fix it, protect our citizens. And what rate increases we're talking about is, and these are all things that have happened. As an example, the county has taken on other sewer districts and just had them join our sewer district. They didn't talk to us, they didn't ask us, they just brought them in. Boring, Hoodland, and then they're bringing in government can. It's going to be part of it. And although these are small sewer districts, so the economic impact isn't huge, it's still, what if Estacada, one of these other districts, had a problem and they wanted to join, who pays for that? The other problem that we've had in the past, not a problem really, but was presented when the EPA was stronger, certainly not now, is they want us to cool the water more. And that would involve setting up cooling towers, and the one at Tri-Cities was about $110, $120 million. So we're talking large numbers. And what this does for the smaller districts like Estacada, Molalla, if they have these huge regulatory requirements, they can't afford them. They don't have rooftops to support it. They would come to the county and say, can we join your district? And they'd say, sure, you betcha. Who pays for that? How does that get paid? So it's this desire to protect our citizens from those rate potential increases that we need to kind of take control or have some control. So what was been discussed in the past, of course, the nuclear option is just take over the district somehow. That was never legally firmly explained. The other one was form a sewer district, which didn't have a lot of positive thought from people, because it's just like Sunrise Water. We don't have any control over their SDCs. That's not a viable option. So the other thing the cities talked about was, we'll be contract cities like the city of Milwaukee, as they're not a member of the district. That had some options. As a contract city, we would set a contract with the county. We're protected from rate increases. The problem that's created, and by the way, does everyone understand what's going on? Maybe I should back up. There's two sewer districts, CCSD number one in Tri-Cities, which is Gladstone, Oregon City, and West Lynn. But then the county, which is the board of directors of both sewer districts, by a 190 agreement between themselves, formed a new entity called WES. And WES, then they, because they're the board of directors of each sewer district, transferred all the assets into WES. So CCSD number one is still a sewer district legally, and we're a member of that district. We have no assets. And same way with Tri-Cities, they took all their assets, which is the sewer plants and the big pipe, pulled them into WES. All the cities provide retail sewer service except for Johnson City and us. Okay? So the other cities, they'll take care of that anyway. So we're mainly talking about wholesale. Well, the contract city option was something that we've been kind of, you know, meandering around talking about. And I was thinking about this last weekend. That creates a problem for Happy Valley, because the what you have to do to withdraw from the district is to have voted the people of the district, right? Right? Well, the three cities were the district. So if the three cities say, we're going to be contract cities, we're out of the district, go to a vote of their own people who would support it, because they would say, we're going to protect you from rate increases. Well, I'd vote yes. Then that leaves Happy Valley. Our district includes unincorporated. The county would simply say to the residents, well, if Happy Valley withdraws and becomes a contract city, any rate increases fall on you all, you're probably going to vote no. That scenario leaves Happy Valley as the last man standing scenario. Not good for us. So as an alternative, and this has not been discussed, we haven't broached this because I haven't talked to the council yet, is a rate board. A rate board is done in public utilities, it's done in other cities. A rate board would then set the rates, or at least the formulas for the rates, and approve the rates and SDC rates and all that. That would give us some level of protection, right? However, we have to understand, even if we set up a rate board consisting of the cities and the county board of county commissioners still sits as the directors of everything. So, but why would they do this? Setting up a rate board is simply a 190 agreement between us and the county and the other cities. That's it. It's easy to set up, it's easy to do. It's a possibility that would provide rate protection for us. My concern, and I was thinking about this last night, was if we don't do some, offer an alternative, and everyone says, well, we're just gonna do the contract city, we're last man standing. Not good for us.
There is one other alternative, is we could do a, we could stay in the district
mm-hmm.
and do a
basically a wholesale agreement with the district for the treatment side. When we say wholesale, that's just the treatment.
Yes.
The retail is the pipes in the street, the billing, cleaning, maintenance, that sort of thing. So we could assume the retail stay in the district, contract, just like Milwaukee does, for the wholesale component of it, and the rest of the cities do that too. So that's another one to add to the mix.
Yes, good, thank you, Jason. That is the other alternative, is we could reach an agreement with the county. That would help us. But if the other cities become contract cities for wholesale, possibly retail. The other problem is Oak Lodge Sanitary has their own sewer plant. They've had problems and issues. They may be joining the district, especially if we were gonna induce cooling, other regulatory issues they may say we want in. The other third element of this is Gladstone's been talking kind of on the side. Gladstone had a mayor that was, Wade Byers was there for 37 years?
Almost 40.
Almost 40, yeah. Longest serving mayor in Oregon history. Him and his council didn't make a lot of improvements. Our SDCs for, when I say ours for the sewer district, were about 6,800, and then it's gone to 7,000. Gladstone's in comparison was $300. So they couldn't do anything. Gladstone has a huge problem with their retail side, their pipe in the ground. It hasn't been replaced. They haven't set up a separate system, stormwater system, where the stormwater goes, you know, into the stormwater system and is treated. It goes into their sewer system, which goes into our sewer plant that we share, that we pay for all this, treating all this extra water. So Gladstone has been talking about going to the county and saying, take over our retail. You're talking 30 million, 35 million, I think those figures I've heard. Who pays for that? Because Gladstone residents on their own, if they had to pay for this, have been quoted a figure of $54 per month per household. Yeah. And you've got not the higher income homes there generally. This is a huge hit. So their citizens are up in arms. What do you do? An alternative, give your retail over to the county, problem solved. So those are kind of the things facing us. Now, like I said, I haven't proposed a rate board because I don't know what we want to do. If we don't propose it, they go with contract cities. The other three cities kind of that's been standing. But there's no downside to a rate board.
In addition to kind of that scenario where the district is assuming these other areas and bringing them in, there's big issues with financing.
Yes.
These cities or areas come in with significant problems with their infrastructure.
Yes.
And if the county just assumes them, who's going to pay for it? We are.
Yeah.
Because we have brand new pipes. They're not doing any maintenance up here. They don't need to. Barely.
They're doing some. But yeah,
and so we end up paying for obligations that they take on for other areas of the district.
I have a quick question. Oh, go ahead.
If I just want to take off on that, yes. The three systems that came in, Boring, Hoodland, and Government Camp,
yeah,
because they had problems and they couldn't pay for it. So they came to the county and the county took them in. Yeah.
So it gets boiled into our rates.
Okay.
Correct.
Councilor Golby, do you have a question?
What's their overall benefit of taking on these areas with failing infrastructure? I mean, why would the county want to do that?
I think they can spread the cost over more people.
Correct.
To fix problems in the system.
Yeah, but these areas that they're taking over are not heavily populated areas. So that doesn't seem like they're spreading the cost out over.
Spreading the cost over the rest of the district.
Right.
Us, urban unincorporated, Gladstone, Tri-City cities.
The reason they do it, the health of the rivers and the streams. Because if they don't do it, nobody wants effluent upstream from them, and they're very much into the health of the rivers and health of the streams. That's their major goal. That's the major reason they're there. That's why sewer engineers get in the business is to create healthy streams, at least they tell me that. So that would be the reason why they take them on.
I have a question on here, talking about a rate board. If the Clackamas County Commissioners are still in charge, then a rate board is just an advisory board.
Well.
There's no teeth to it.
Yes, except you could set it up so you would narrow the reasons or narrow the reasons that the county board could overrule the rate board. In other words, they could only do it under certain circumstances. Because otherwise, Tom, you're right, if it's just a rate review board and has no teeth or no, there's no narrowing, the county can't step in. As an example, if the rate board said, we're not going to raise rates for 4 years, the county board would step in and say, well, we got to do something. But you'd narrow those reasons, because if you don't narrow the reasons, yeah, then why are you doing it?
Cool, so that brings up another question. If you want to set up a rate board, I'm assuming they would have to approve it.
They would have to approve it, the cities would have to approve it, everyone would.
So if they have to approve it, I can't imagine that they're gonna willingly let you take a lot of their power away from them.
Except, and that's a good point, except the threat of the cities all becoming contract cities. Of course, we couldn't very easily, but the other three cities could. Because that would create potentially a nightmare scenario for them. I mean, the not nightmare scenario so much as the three cities in Milwaukee form a consortium and agree to one contract. But if not, they're all separate contracts being done at separate times, they have to do separate agreements. That gets into a nightmare scenario, because how do you plan for your rate increases? How do you plan to pay for things if you have to negotiate all these contracts separately? So that's not something they want to get into.
Anybody have any questions?
No? Chris, because you've been going to these meetings, please.
Yeah, so I can give a quick overview of what was at the last meeting if you'd like, but the general discussion was that we needed more information sharing. There wasn't a lot of that happening, is what it amounted to. They were concerned about population forecasts for whatever reason. They wanted to know what growth looked like. Zone changes, they're not getting that information from cities very well, very, very readily. If there's a zone change or an upzoning or something like that that impacts the district. Future planning was an issue with just urban growth. SDC rates and West not communicating with us back and forth, that was a huge thing. And then I&I effort was another big discussion. And Councilor Drake, it sounded like you and Mayor Holliday were gonna get together and do some sort of a question and answer poll that was gonna happen based on those kind of questions in general and then get it out to the cities. I don't know if that process has happened, but another just informational item for you guys, October 10th is the next meeting?
Yes.
The 14th, the meeting after that, and the last meeting is December 12th with this consensus process. So that's what I kind of have in my notes overall. But yes, Markley brings up valid points. But there's a lot of questions that didn't get answered during our first meeting at all. They brought up several that and they were trying to kind of hone those into different areas of issues, you know, like it.
Well, there's
or information or whatever it may be.
Yeah, there was a second meeting that I don't think.
Right, I didn't make it to.
You didn't, so that information was shared, some of it. Yeah, Dan Holliday, by the way, the mayor of Oregon City, has some severe medical issues. And so it's hard to get in meeting set up with him because of his medical issues. So we're still trying to do that to figure out where Dan is at. The mayor of Oregon City has always been, I have to say, the more militant of the group about making changes, taking over the district, those kind of things. So he's on that side of the line. Most of the group is more centered and just, we want to protect our citizens from rate increases. That's what we want to do. And that's what we're trying to accomplish.
Go ahead.
I wasn't at that meeting, but something you said about what the other cities are considering is starting to concern me a little bit, that, you know, there would be a consortium of three cities or four cities that would look to withdraw and create their own deal. And I'm almost feeling like, you know, that old saying, if you're not at the table, you're on the table. I'm starting to get a little concerned. You know, I know we are looking out for our interests, but I don't think anyone else is looking out for our interests. So That bothers me that those cities are considering some kind of consortium and they're not saying, and Happy Valley.
Well, no, wait a minute. What I'm saying is, let me correct that, if I can, restate that. The scenario is the cities would be contract cities. The better scenario for the county is if they did form a consortium, they're not talking about it now, and negotiate one contract.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. The nightmare scenario for them is they'd have to negotiate with each city. That's a problematic.
Got it.
So, but the city of Milwaukee is kind of their own entity, and I don't know how much they'd even participate because they're a contract city already. So I don't know if they'd feel an advantage to join a consortium if one was formed, by the way.
Okay. So you said that you're looking for direction from the council. So what are you looking for from us?
The direction I'm looking for, do you want me to present this rate board as an option? That's what I'm looking for. Because, and of course it wouldn't happen immediately, but if they glom onto that idea and that gains legs, is that something that we would consider? Because I don't want to bring it up unless we're on board.
Any thoughts, Council President Sherman?
So I'm just kind of curious, you know, just reading through the PSU consensus decision-making information, and you know, their information is very generic, just talking about creative solutions for all parties, so that we're all moving in the same direction. But what I didn't get from that is this all just about rate increases and then providing the services to some of the various entities and the cities, because they're not happy, they brought in PSU to kind of try to get everybody on the same page. I'm not sure I understand. So when the consensus process is done, what's that going to yield, and how does that relate to the discussion we're having right now?
Well, we're going to be talking about at the next meeting the concerns of the cities, which is rate increases, and then what are the options. And this is driven by protection of rates. The cities, by the way, are different in their wanting to protect themselves. For example, Gladstone wants to protect itself from growth from Oregon City and Happy Valley. What rate increases does that bring to them? We're building a new digester. The city of Gladstone is essentially built out, so that new digester is for growth from Oregon City and Happy Valley that they're paying for. So that's their concern. What are the rate increases? And of course, their retail system is so bad, what's that going to do to them? So each city has a rate issue. It may come from a different angle, but it's how is these rates going to impact my people?
If I may summarize really quick, too, the big thing is there's no trust at all.
Right.
Councilor Sherman, you asked why. None of the cities trust anything that's going on at the county, and they feel like they need more information, and they don't feel like they're receiving it. So the Oregon Consensus idea was to create some milestones so that everybody was on the same page when it came to the goings-on of the county. Before we form a 190, let's go talk to people about that kind of process and what that might mean, rather than just doing it, like Councilor Drake was saying.
Councilor Golden, you had something.
So it's more than just rates then. If certainly everyone is concerned about the rates, but they're also concerned about a whole host of other things that they're not hearing from the county, correct?
Councilor Drake mentioned that, yeah, it's everything from we don't want to pay for this growth, or we don't want to pay for this collection system that's failing. I mean, every city has its own set of issues associated with the overall.
So how would that board fix those?
It'd give you some control over the rates. As long as the county agreed to, like Tom was saying, you would actually set the rates, and there would only be limited circumstances where the county, Board of County Commissioners could override that. So that would be the theory, the thought behind it.
This has been done other places?
Yeah, rate boards in public utilities are common.
Pretty common, yeah.
Yeah. It's
Council President Sherman?
Yeah, so I think, you know, bringing up that notion as part of the brainstorming part of that process, and I think, you know, those sessions are best used for throwing anything out there. You know, you put the ideas out there. You know, we're not saying we're advocating, but we're saying this is just one option that's been discussed. And so that doesn't seem like it's necessarily a bad thing. I'm still just really kind of curious. You know, so the idea of the consensus process is you're creating a collaborative relationship where everybody's moving together in the same direction. Everybody's going to benefit from the outcome. And I think there's a disconnect between the various cities that are part of this and the county. And so I'd be really curious, how does the collaborative relationship then kind of become stronger, you know, within that? Because of course, if you take the high road, you know, if you say, okay, the county's doing the right thing for the overarching system. They're looking at all the various cities as a resource, and they've got some really big picture issues to deal with. And the cities are saying, yeah, and I mean, you know, this is not an uncommon theme that we have here in Happy Valley. We're young, we're growing, we have the infrastructure. And, you know, another area that maybe hasn't collected the revenue that they should have been collecting and literally have not been planning for the future, now are behind the eight ball because they can't deal with it, and their first response is somebody else should pay for this, shouldn't be us. And by the way, we don't want to pay for anything else because somebody else has to pay for our stuff. So I'm not sure how, I'm really curious as we get to the end of this process, what types of consensus they can find among the various entities. But I don't have a concern if you choose to bring up a rate board as one of the options that's discussed. I'm not sure how the county would it would be an interesting conversation to see how that got kind of presented and then
right.
potentially approved as part of that process.
Yeah, the Oregon Census Group was brought in because the cities didn't trust the county. That's why we brought them in. We suggested it, the county agreed to it, and the county agreed to, you know, an outcome of this process, whatever the outcome is.
Okay. So, I kind of want to move on here, but yeah. Is everybody okay with Councillor Drake at least approaching the board, rate board scenario? Everybody's okay with him?
Okay.
You have your direction that you're okay to bring that up if you'd like.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Everybody good? All right, we're going to move on. Next item up is a Superblock update. Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. So staff and our consultants have been working furiously, fast and furious, to get the project designed and out to bid. And so Mr. Randall is here and has some updates for you. We are having to adjust the project into different phases so that we can proceed with the easier portions more quickly. We are, like any project, running into issues which are affecting the time frame, so we're having to cut off pieces so we can work on certain pieces. One being the development that was approved on the corner of 132nd and Ridgecrest. That fell apart, so we're working with the property owner. We're trying to avoid going in there and doing an improvement, and then 6 months later they come in and rip it out and start putting utilities in. So we have to think about if they don't want to front the money, that we may have to front the money, put the utilities in, look for a reimbursement district. Anyways, it adds delay. But we're working on it. Also, you should be aware there's a private attorney that has found out about the project and reached out to all the potential property owners that we would need to purchase right away from, and offered to be their representative in those discussions and negotiations, which I think had an effect on some of our conversations with property owners. So anyways, we sent a letter out kind of explaining what is going on, and that we will be officially in touch with them soon to talk about it. So those are kind of swirling out there. If you hear of anything, that's what happened. Opportunistic attorney looking for work.
Happy Valley resident?
One of them is not, I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the other.
Okay.
So I'll turn it over to
specialty in law.
Yes.
So Mr. Randall, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Council. This is a small copy, but you're welcome to take a quick peek at it. That is the Phase 1 improvements that are 50% design, scheduled to bid end of next week. So that's our goal. Well, now that we've modified the Fox Haven subdivision and removed it from Phase 1, we can get these out quicker than we originally thought. So it includes all the ADA crossings, rapid flashing beacon crossings that we'd seen in the original plan, the sidewalks along Ridgecrest Road minus the Fox Haven piece, and the sidewalks basically between Fox Haven and the 132nd King Road intersection. So the, there's two properties there that are gonna, you know, benefit from a sidewalk, and we'll get those on the 132nd leg as well in this plan. So the good thing is we think the project's gonna come under the threshold for a public advertisement. Speeds up the process on our end, and we can go out to three reputable contractors that we've worked for before and bid this work. We're still, we need an engineer's estimate to come back under $100,000 for this effort, but we think that that's doable and will happen. Shortens up all of our timelines. Out to bid, like I said, end of next week, and then construction happening 2 weeks after that, a window, and substantial completion end of January is our goal. So coming together quickly. So a couple of things just to kind of note that are just not causing delays, but are things that we have to consider when doing this project. The Scott Creek crossing at King Road, that has to be widened to accommodate the sidewalks. This is the King Road portion. DSL has looked at it with us briefly. The permitting process isn't a big deal, but DSL is, why wouldn't you do it to your transportation system plan max capacity of that roadway and widen this culvert one time and be done with it? So we kind of regrouped and said, yeah, not a bad idea. It's not the most inexpensive idea, but it's not a bad idea. So we're exploring those options. That's one. Right-of-way acquisition, as Manager Tuck said, that's getting tricky a little bit given the latest letter that went out. But we have a right-of-way consultant on board that's working with us on the project. There's 19 properties. We're one of those 19 properties to acquire property with. She's giving us a range from anywhere between 6 months and 8 months, longer depending. She asked for a personal services contract for up to 1 year. So we're working through that. The Fox Haven subdivision is definitely a hiccup because of the utility impacts that it may have. The owner, Mill Fox, is ailing a little bit, and his daughter is helping him through this process. They're willing to talk to us about phasing or a potential reimbursement district on that property, but they don't know what it means and they haven't seen numbers yet, and we're working with them to get them numbers so that they can understand the overall impact. It makes sense to me to include the utilities in that effort so that we don't take them, put them in and take them back out a week later. Theoretically, it wouldn't happen, but shortly thereafter. PG right-of-way, the design is done on the King Road piece. PG's done with that design. They've sent it to their design review board now that has to approve it before it can be let to us. So we know that is getting done. We're also talking to PG at the same time about the overall undergrounding for that general area, all the way from what we call the S-curve project that's on 129th, clear up to the Superblock project, connecting all that. So 129th and King Road in that general area in front of old City Hall, CPC, the fire station there. So we're working with them to find out what that would look like on a utility basis and what those numbers would be. So we'll bring that back to you shortly too. Their PGE is currently working on basically a summary memo of how this works and how we can do this effort and what it looks like on your utility bills. And they're expected to have that done in the next month, and then they're gonna share it with us. So we'll be presenting it to you. Overall, it's moving forward. We're gonna get it done, and we're working to get it done as quickly as we can. A bit out of our control on some of the aspects of it, but at the same time, we can continue to prod those utility providers or the private consulting world and see if we can get answers. So that's what we're working on right now. But the exciting news, in my summary and my explanation statement here, is the fact that phase one is ready. It's going out. It's going to go out the door quick.
I have one question. Phase one, does that include that little piece on the over by the park across from? It does. I didn't see the thing.
The map, I think, shows you kind of where we're at, the new phasing map.
You know what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yep, that's an easy one for you guys to look at on your agenda.
North of Ridgecrest?
Yep, right across
from Clover.
Councilor Mommy, question?
Good question. So on phase one, it looks like we have near Purple Finch and Denali.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be
a mid-block flashing crossing.
So, yeah. So this is awesome. So citizen David Amami from like 5 years ago, went to a traffic and public safety meeting and tried to get that done, and I was told, they looked at it, but I was told at the time that the cars would be coming too fast, that to throw a crosswalk there would essentially be too dangerous for the kids because it's more of like a rapid stop, it wasn't gradual. So then that's was before they put in the four-way intersection at Jackson Hills and the stoplights there. So Is that still a concern, or is that no longer a concern? I'm so happy to see that go in.
What I remember from that discussion was the inclusion of that beacon at the intersection of Jackson Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work well. It's
right,
because
all the
proposed.
Kids go on the other side
yeah.
across the street.
And it's a controlled intersection now, mm-hmm. so it functions as that anyway.
Okay.
There's crossings there because the cars stop.
Yeah.
The idea of putting a mid-block crossing is still an option. They were just focused on, they seemed like the Jackson Hills wanted it done at Ridgecrest
okay,
Road
cool.
at Jackson.
Now this is, so this is, yeah.
Yeah, no hiccups with our traffic
okay.
engineer on putting it there. We are including it mid-block. It's not going to be at an intersection because
mm-hmm.
that impacts things. So it'll be a true mid-block crossing and hopefully a success.
Yeah.
Along with the two that are going to be in conjunction with the elementary school. There, so
I think
on King
that's
Road.
Much needed. That's definitely going to improve the safety for our kids. So many kids cross that intersection every single day to get to the Happy Valley Elementary Middle School.
Yeah,
and
the Happy
so
Valley Heights area,
yeah,
the Jackson
so
Hills
much,
area.
So
this
gonna
whole
be a,
project is huge.
That's
going to
be very, very well
just
received.
In general.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Councilor Goldby.
Just have a question in terms of the actual financial component. Typically, I'm used to most construction projects, if you can keep a contractor on site and not split it up into phases, it keeps your costs down. So, and when we first started talking about this project, we had some budget numbers that we were thinking this project could be done. Now that we can't do it all at once, are we gonna see increased costs that were not anticipated or talked about?
We could see increased costs. The only thing that's benefiting on us on this piece of it is we're doing this effort in the middle of kind of the winter months.
On
so
a shoulder season, hopefully.
Contractors can do this a bit at their leisure or a bit on the heels of their busy season, keep their their crews going. We may consider, may see and may observe increases based on an overall package, but hopefully not as tremendous as what one could consider during the peak season, let's say.
So with this, you're only gonna put out to bid phase one. Is that what I'm understanding?
Correct.
Because none of the other phases are designed.
Yep. Well, I've got 30% design on the rest of the phases too, but we're in we're in hold mode based on right-of-way acquisition, PG Underground Power, and then that Fox Haven subdivision piece. So that's really what's putting the hiccup on the rest of it. But it's all in process, and I'm guessing in a year I'm going to have a lot more answers for you guys. In a year, in 6 months I'll have more answers. In a year we'll hopefully have a project under construction. That's our goal.
Just concerns me with increased potential costs. So
the potential exists. You're correct.
Okay, Councilor Drake.
When is the end date of this project?
As soon as we acquire right-of-way and underground power plans, we'll have it done. I can't tell you exactly what the end date's going to be because there's a couple things out of our control at this time is what it amounts to.
Okay.
Piggyback on what Councilor Goldby said. How long do you think we're going to know what the overall cost of this whole project is going to be? We had a number at the beginning, and that possibly could change.
Yep.
But I think we'd all be interested to know what the overall cost of this is going to be. Councilor Goldby?
And before you answer that question, because to me the concern is you get this out to bid, and you said hopefully get started on it right away, and then break out these other, it could be a heck of a lot more money than what we originally anticipated. So I guess it concerns me breaking out into phases where each phase could,
a valid question. Council would have to consider that option for sure. Big things out of our control and outside of the original scope that you saw, original estimate. Because I don't think anything's changed outside that original estimate at this point. The only thing that's bigger is we don't know what right-of-way costs are going to be, and that was, you guys knew that originally.
Mm-hmm.
The underground power, how are we going to pay for that? That's a huge component. PGE, ratepayers, city, that'll be something you guys will have to consider that was an unknown at the time. And the big change is the Fox Haven subdivision that wasn't considered originally, because we actually thought that the Fox Haven subdivision, when we came to you guys originally, was going to be under construction right now and potentially halfway built by now. So that piece is going to be a change. I can get you estimates on the Fox Haven subdivision. I don't think anybody's going to give me any right-of-way update based on any changes. They gave you general, numbers associated with what the real market value is.
I'm okay personally to wait a little while because I want them to be accurate. And if you can't give us accurate numbers right now, then let's let things develop to where they do get more accurate. Now, as far as phase one goes, I'm in favor of going ahead with phase one because, it's not a huge amount of money. It'll show some progress. We can get some stuff done that really needs to be done. And I think that's a good thing for the city, so I'm okay with that. Councilor Mommy.
Are the tariffs going to play a role in potential role? Have you seen that just in your day-to-day as far as supplies and
We haven't, but we'll see that when we start on the underground utility portions
okay.
of it. Yeah,
right.
Once you start putting pipe in the ground,
yeah.
that's when we're going to notice the tariff impacts more than anything.
Okay.
Concrete and the asphalt products are all, you know, built here, aren't necessarily a problem, but pipe is definitely going to be a concern.
Council President Sherman, you had something?
Yeah, I think just an observation, you know, I do think there's some uncertainty, you know, splitting this into phases. However, you know, phase one versus phase two, phase one are relatively minor compared to the rest of the overarching project, and they're all mutually exclusive, so it kind of looks like getting these done doesn't necessarily really significantly impact, these small phases would not be dramatically tied to these bigger ones that would require people being on site for a long period of time. I think at this juncture, those seem like they're pretty straightforward. Probably the bigger question is going to be between Fox Haven and the rest of it. Those are the two pieces that really would be potentially tied together, and that might add some uncertainty. So it looks like phase one is rocking and rolling.
I will get Manager Tuck updates on estimated costs for phase one first part of next week. So he'll have that. He can send it out to you guys and let you guys kind of just generally know what it's going to be. And then as soon as I hear anything on utility installation on Fox Haven or right-of-way stuff, I will feed that to him as quick as I can as well.
And just a quick point on the Fox Haven, I'm sure most people probably agree. We don't want to see things done twice, obviously. That's a waste of money. On the other hand, if there's a way that we could be, when somebody goes in and develop that, which probably will happen in the next not too long period of time, of a way for the city to get their money back somehow, that would be nice. But I'll let you guys work on that and see if that's feasible. So anyway.
Mayor.
Yes.
One other caution. We have heard that bids that are coming back are outrageous for public improvement work. So it's always a
peak
risk
season,
out there.
Peak season efforts are challenging.
Councilor Goldby?
I can speak to that. The commercial industry as a whole is just, there's not enough manpower. So that causes costs to skyrocket. So even though we're trying to do this in the shoulder season, it really isn't a shoulder season in the commercial markets right now. It's go like crazy.
Right. The fortunate thing about this effort is it was all looked at 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's not like we have a long time gap between what the estimates are and now. So we knew that 3 months ago that things were going to be expensive. I'm just nervous about adding in extra components. So at least you guys are aware of the Fox Haven issues and what right away may bring in the future. So.
Okay, anybody else? I'm excited. I want to see this get going, as we all do, I'm sure. So, great deal. Let's move forward with that. Anybody have anything else? Do we want to do the city manager report? We have a little bit of time.
Mine is short.
Okay.
So I had a conversation with Representative Bynum a few weeks ago. She was looking for a date to have a legislative town hall type event here where she would invite some of her colleagues to come and talk to the public and listen to the public about issues in our community. Kind of coincided well with the conversation we were having with our lobbyists about having better relationships with our legislators for our area, and we had also thought that a town hall would be great. So we coordinated some, and it looks like October 26th, 22nd at 6:30, 22nd, 6:30 here at City Hall, and it's going to be called a Legislative Open House. So it's not a candidate forum. It's not a debate. It's a open house. Hey, this is what we worked on. Want to hear from the community about what your concerns are. And so we're going to help advertise it to the community, get people here, and hopefully we'll have all of our legislative, local legislators here.
Okay.
So that's the 22nd?
22nd at 6:30.
So that's on Sunday. Oh, it's October.
October 22nd. It's a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have Gabe put it on the calendar.
Yeah,
yep.
Definitely. Okay. That's all I have.
That's all you have. Wow.
Yep.
So we might as well do council comments. Councilor Mommy, go right ahead.
Yeah, so let's see here. Kind of had an action-packed last couple weeks, so attended the ribbon-cutting ceremony with Mayor Ellis for Beatrice Morrow Kennedy Elementary School, which is a beautiful facility, state-of-the-art. It was really exciting being there for the grand opening and seeing all those kids walking to their school for the very first time. I also attended the Scouters Mountain back-to-school night. A lot of the kids that went there last year are now going to the new elementary school, so it's kind of got a new feel to it. Attended a UCA meeting, met with school board member Orlando, and also with our Metro counselor, Christine Lewis. I'm Orlando Perez, by the way. Attended a few Rotary meetings, and I was there with most of you at the Clackamas Rotary All Abilities Play Build. So that was cool, putting all those playground structures together and seeing the community out strong. And I thought it was really cool that, you know, I saw Manager Tuck out there with a jackhammer and Mayor Ellis shoveling concrete. Mark Lee is putting stuff on ladders, and we were all, you know, doing all kinds of great stuff. Council President Sherman was putting together seesaws, and I just thought it was really great to see us all out there. Upcoming, I know we've all got the League of Oregon Cities coming up here in Bend. I've got a library board meeting. I'm going to try, I always have to work during this time, but I'm going to try to make the Happy Valley Business Alliance next meeting. I think they've got something interesting about the Portland Diamond Project for baseball to Oregon. So I'm on record saying that would be cool. I'm also going to plan to attend the Scouters Mountain PTA meeting and maybe some of those upcoming parks levy informational sessions. I did have a meeting scheduled with Representative Janelle Bynum, but it got canceled, so we're working on rescheduling that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun these last few weeks.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Golby.
My calendar is frozen on Outlook, so I'm going to actually go to a concern that I have, since this is comments and concerns. We have a police levy coming up. As far as I'm aware, we don't have a political action committee. We don't seem to have a whole lot of momentum going into the end of September. I'm concerned about messaging. Since our last levy was passed, the city has grown substantially again, so we have a bunch of people who don't fully understand the way our police are funded. I think that we've got to get something going ASAP. It has got to be priority one. We cannot put ourselves in the same situation we were 4 or 5 years ago, where there was the risk and we had to go to a special election that we weren't going to have police services. And I'm actually very concerned to understand that we don't really have any momentum. I'm happy to help out. Historically, city councilors have put money into the PAC. There is no PAC. I mean, how can we not have a PAC? Almost October. That leaves us a month to scramble and get stuff done. So I mean, I see a sign right there, that's great, but we gotta get some momentum going. And if we don't have people that are wanting to do it, then we as councilors need to get on it and get it done. Because I don't want to have us be in a situation where we're risking police service. That was a big thing for me when we had our strategic plan. I said, I'm concerned about our police services. And here we are, not really talking a whole lot about it.
Okay. I agree with pretty much everything you say. That's why I made this up and I'm gonna order some signs. We can only talk about this so much, I believe, in these meetings, because the city can't be an advocate for this.
But I can.
You can, and we can.
I'm not asking city staff to.
So that, yeah, exactly. And so I had planned to talk to everybody about how we're going to do this with some donations and get some signs. And we're all going to advocate, go to the meetings, all these meetings. I'm going to step it up and go to more. I'm going to try to go to almost all of them, as a matter of fact, and get the word out there. So this is something we are going to need to talk about. Yes, you're right, the PAC thing didn't get formed. I'll blame myself for that, just because I didn't know how the process worked on that. And now the voter's pamphlet is out. You can't put anything else in the voter's pamphlet. We have the city's explanation that is in there. I read today, it's very good. It explains everything very well. It was very well done. I think that will help. But yes, I think we all need to figure out what we're going to do. Councilor Golden.
Thank you for that explanation. Is it too late for us to form a PAC? I know it's too late to get things into the voters pamphlet. I'm aware of that, but I don't think we've passed by the time frame of having a PAC and having the PAC be.
I don't know for sure, but I think you're probably right. We probably could form one.
I mean, that's usually the funding mechanism for something like this. Is
yeah.
It funnels through there.
I guess the question was be is we're going to have to figure out how much money do we need.
Right.
Do we form one? Do we just pitch in ourselves? You know, how do we do this? Do we fundraise? I know last time we got some donations for people, some for flyers and that sort of thing, and maybe we can hit those people up again. And go ahead.
Can we find out? Is there a way to find out some?
Well, I'm sure.
I mean, I guess
way.
We could go on the Secretary of State's website and see how much money.
Way that we could figure
we probably
out.
Should do that and see what our budget was last time. Our population has grown, so you're probably going to want more signs than what we had last time. But this is a very serious thing for our city. And
I went online and designed these. I can get 100 of these with stakes for $275 plus shipping. That's pretty reasonable. So I plan on probably ordering those up here real soon.
Thank you. I mean, it's just.
I don't think we need the big 4x8s. Like, you know, I don't think we need any of those.
They actually are not very expensive.
Yeah, maybe we can get some. But I think, to be honest with you, we have to be careful of the quorum thing. And I don't know if we can all talk about this without it being a quorum issue. I don't know.
You can talk about it here. It's counselor concerns. As an elected official, you can do all the advocacy work you want.
Right.
We just can't use any city resources.
Right.
No, but I guess what I'm getting at is can
we be the PAC?
Can we get together outside of City Hall and talk about this subject without it being a quorum issue?
Yeah, we did before.
Yeah,
well, that doesn't mean it's right. I want to make sure we're right.
Well, I mean, I don't think we did something illegal before.
I want to make sure we're on legal standing here.
Yeah.
So
let me
that's
get
something we'll check on and make sure we can do that. Because it would be easier than rather than doing everything one-on-one, we could all get together.
I think you're
let's.
Good because it's technically not city business.
Right. We would be operating as citizens in that function.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably okay, but let's give it a day here or two to check it out, see if we can figure that out. But good points you made. Appreciate that. I had thought about it, obviously, since I made this up, and we'll get moving forward here. So, okay. Councilor Drake, concerns, comments?
Well, first off, concerns. I share the concerns that raised by Councilor Golaby. I'm also concerned, wait a minute, the timeline passed for us getting something in the voters pamphlet?
Yeah, it was early this time.
Okay. Oh, that's concerning. Okay. But yes.
Well, let's clarify that. This, all the title, the caption, the explanatory statement, all that
it's
stuff.
Not like
in
there's
there.
Nothing.
There's
there.
Just no arguments
in favor
or in favor that
right.
were submitted.
But there's a really good explanation in there on how the rate's staying the same and what it's being used for. All that is really, really good.
And I understand that, but it would have been nice to have.
Agreed.
Usually the council puts in something about
I agree.
Are you in favor, so that's concerned. But anyway, that aside, I've attended, of course, the homeless dinner since our last meeting, C4. It brought up housing. And frankly, at this meeting, I brought it up and several other people did. What is it they want from C4 to deal with housing? The county has several housing committees. They have a housing task force. What is the role of C4 in this whole housing thing? And so the county's going to talk about that amongst themselves. The board is. Other cities are going to talk about it if there is some sort of role. But I'm not sure what role the C4 committee in itself plays. I know all the cities, we have roles to play. We have things we need to do. But what is C4 going to do about it? So. That's something that we'll probably talk about again. I agree, we're at the All Abilities Park. I was there with everybody else. And Councilor Hamani Anami there, we were up there on the ladders putting together these plastic things, and we got done, looked around, and where was everybody else? They were all gone. So we were up there, but we got them done.
We did.
So that was fun. And of course, going to League of Oregon Cities conference next week. I'll be driving a city car down if anybody wants to do that. Driving down Wednesday late afternoon, 5-6 o'clock, and then coming back Saturday.
Okay, Council President Sherman.
Let's see, I testified at the Metro Transportation Funding Task Force meeting about in favor of T2020, attended the last concert in the Valley, Rotary, Happy Valley Clackamas Women's Group, did an update for them, including the police levy, really good group, 46, 48 people in attendance, really engaged. It was there. I'm going to hit them up again this next month to remind them to get out and not only vote for that, but to also be in contact with all of their friends. We're going to get that viral process going. NCPRD District Advisory Board, very entertaining meeting on that one. I think you've all been pretty much updated on the addition of Commissioner Savas as a voting member to the DAB, not as a commissioner, but as a citizen, in an effort to rewrite the bylaws, with one of the targets to be to reduce the exposure of the city's influence on DAB. So that'll be an ongoing discussion as we kind of form that out. Also, all the buildings park build coming up. I've got C4 Metro Subcommittee, Rotary. So I'm going to start on Councilor Galby's comments. I'm going to start hitting some of these events and spreading the word about the police levy. So Rotary, Public Art Committee. Let's see what else is coming up. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank. Parks Advisory. I'll also be at the Metropolitan Pediatrics Ribbon Cutting, LOC, and I'll be meeting with Councilor Lewis, the Metro Councilor, to talk about T2020 as well coming up. So pretty light schedule right now.
Okay, I'm going to go quick so we can get going here. Attended a lot of the things that everybody else attended. I went to the Rotary thank you. Councilor Mr. Tuck and I met with Senator Representative Reardon recently, and he basically just wanted to know what was going on in the city. It was just an informational meeting. Went very well. We kind of went over a lot of the park stuff, explained to him what was going on in the parks. Did that. Met with the veterans. New Seasons on Thursday, and I think I'm going to let it go on that so we can get that. So we are adjourned, and we'll go to our meeting.